Job 23, verse 1, let's hear the Lord's word. Then Job answered and said, "Even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. Will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me. There the righteous might dispute with him. So should I be delivered forever from my judge. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take, and he hath tried me. I shall come forth as gold." Amen. The Lord add his blessing to the reading from his word for his name's sake. Bow your head with me for a moment, please, in prayer. Let's seek the Lord's face together. Let's all pray. Our God and our Father, we turn thee to thee once again to pray for that special grace needed to preach and hear the word. Holy Ghost, thou who dost empower thy people to declare the whole counsel of God and to believe it, thou who dost strengthen us with thine own grace, abundantly fill us with thyself, control us. Every thought, word, we want it all to be pleasing to our God today. Make this to be a word in season for this first Lord's Day of the new year. A word indeed that we'll carry with us throughout the year, one day at a time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. In seeking the mind of God for the motto text for our church for 2018, I was drawn to this well-known statement made by Job in verse 10. "But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." Job uttered those words when he was in the midst of the darkest, deepest, and most dreadful valley he had ever experienced. Most all of you know well Job's story. Because the devil believed that Job's love for and obedience to God was based solely on how good God had been to him, because the devil believed that if God took all those blessings away from Job, that he would curse God to his face, he threw down the gauntlet one day and challenged God to prove him wrong. Jehovah took up that challenge and gave Satan permission to do whatever he wanted with anything that God had blessed Job with. The one exception being that he wasn't allowed to do anything to Job himself. What soon followed that conversation between God and Satan would have made the stones weep. In one great stroke of his sword, Satan left Job penniless and childless. Every oxen and ass, every sheep and every camel were taken away by marauders. Every one of his servants but four were slain. And all 10 of his children were crushed to death when the house they were feasting in fell down upon them. And this all happened the same day. Did Job curse God to his face? He took everything away. Did Job curse God to his face as Satan said he would? Well, we turn to chapter 1 and we read upon hearing all of this devastating news back to back that Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped. and said, Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He didn't curse God. He blessed him. Satan was wrong. As you know, that wasn't the end of Job's troubles. Satan hadn't given up. He still believed that Job was in it for the money. Job was in it for the blessing. It was all out of self-interest. He was serving God. And so he has another conversation with the Lord where he claims that Job didn't curse him. Yes, I admit, he didn't curse you after you. I took everything away. He lost his children and has lost all of his wealth. But I'll tell you this, he said, he will curse you to your face if you let me touch his body. He'll curse you. Challenge was made again. God took up the challenge and gave the devil permission to do whatever he wanted to do to Job's bone and flesh. But he couldn't take his life. That was the one exception. Make him as sick as you want, but it can't result in his death. The pain and suffering that Job experienced over the next days and weeks and months defy description. You can understand why he cursed the day he was born. He wanted to die. The one thing that made his experience, however, the most painful was that God was nowhere to be found. In Job's mind, this was the worst part of it all. You see, the child of God can go through anything and endure anything as long as he senses that the Lord is for him, not against him, but for him, and that the Lord is actually near him. But Job had none of that. None of it. He kept searching for God. He kept looking for any word from the Lord. Any assurance that God was still for him and hadn't turned against him. But for all his searching, all of his asking, God was silent to him. Job was hurting, like you and I can't begin to imagine hurt. He was pleading with God, and God was saying nothing to him. It's in this context that Job utters the words of our motto text for 2018. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. While those words have a very powerful and pertinent application to the Lord's people when they're going through fiery trials as Job was, surely they are words that can and should be brought to bear upon the lives of God's people as they face a new year. The Hebrew word translated way, he knoweth the way that I take, actually denotes, it's the common Hebrew word for road or path or journey. Although we can't see it, stretched out before us all this year, there is a road. There's a path we're going to travel. One day at a time, we're going to travel it. It's going to be our journey for 2018. You completed the journey for 2017 already. Now it's the journey of 2018. And it's the truths that we find tucked away in this very well-known verse of Scripture that we all need to learn afresh as we go down this year's road, this year's path, this journey, one day at a time. So from this text, I want to preach this first Lord's Day of the new year on old truths for a new year. Old truths for a new year. The first thing I want you to see is that there is here in this text an undeniable implication. An undeniable implication. But he knoweth the way that I take. That word but is emphatic in the Hebrew. Emphatic. The strong, strong contrast to what Job has just said. What was that? Well, you read verse 2, Job said, "Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat." In verses 8 and 9, he says, "Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take." In other words, Job is saying, God knows this road he's got me on. God knows this way, but I don't. I don't know it. I can't perceive it. I can't understand it. God knows where this path is going to lead me, but I sure don't know. One of the old truths that we need to keep ever before us each day throughout the year is that God has hidden the future from us. Elementary, you say. There's a lot of things that are elementary, but for all their basicness, we seem to forget them. And we do ourselves a lot of harm when we forget those elementary truths. God has hidden the future of this year from us. We simply don't know where this journey down this road that signposted 2018 is going to take us. But that fact hasn't seemed to curb the curiosity of many a child of God about the future. Yes, God's hidden it, but the curiosity is still there. Whether the future be an hour from now, or a day from now, or a week from now, or a month from now, or 10 months from now, whatever it is, there's this curiosity, this sometimes obsession with tomorrow. When Christians start playing the what if game, you know what that game is. What if this happens? What if that doesn't happen? Then what? Fill in the blank. What if? When you break it down, it usually comes from an inordinate desire to know the future that God has hidden. An inordinate desire to know the future that God has hidden, or perhaps a desire to control the future that God has hidden. But one of the basic principles of living by faith is that we accept that fact, that God has hidden it from us, and that we thank God for the fact that it's hidden from us. He's hidden our future from us. We don't know what a day will bring forth, and God's made it that way, and we should thank Him for it. But if an angel appeared in our midst this morning and said that he had been sent by God to tell us all that 2018 holds for us, all that would transpire as we traveled down this road before us, and the only thing we needed to do to find that out, the only thing, was to show up at the evening service tonight, and he would tell you. So you've gotten this bit of information in the morning. You know that to find it out, you've got to show up for the evening service. I wonder how many of us would actually show up when we knew what he would tell us is what's going to happen in 2018. Would we really want to know? Rest assured that with the exception of some outstanding features which God has recorded in His Word, those details about the future which concern your life and mine are shut up to God alone. Why? Why has he done that? Well, in the first place, there's enough in this present hour, in this present time, to occupy our time and our energy without thinking about tomorrow, next week, next year, without becoming obsessed with that and playing the what if that happens next month and this happens the next month and what are we, as you know how the story plays out. There's enough right now, today. That's exactly what Christ meant when he said in Matthew 6:34, take therefore no thought for the morrow. That means no anxious thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You have enough on your plate for today. You just take care of today. Don't concern yourself with tomorrow. It takes, you and I know it well, it takes every bit of strength and grace that God gives us to live each day, just to live each day. But if we become obsessed or fretful about tomorrow, about the future of this year, we easily become distracted from dealing with the place that we're on the road right now. We do ourselves and we do the work of God disservice when we're so consumed about the future because we've forgotten about now. Living for God now, working for the Lord now, dealing with the situations now. Because we're all wrapped up in what if this happens tomorrow. You see, the best way to ensure that your future path, tomorrow, next week, next month, next quarter, the best way to ensure that your future path is going to be happy and is going to be holy is to keep your heart and mind on the present. It's the best way. It will take care of tomorrow if you take care of today. Another reason I believe that God has hidden what lies down the road of this year from us is to keep us from becoming fatalists. No doubt in my mind that the Scripture teaches that God has ordained whatever comes to pass. I've preached it for years and I've believed it. He's ordained whatever you and I are going to meet with down this way, down this road that he knows that we take. It has been ordained by God before the world was ever created. It's fixed, determined by the Lord. His eternal plan and purpose is settled, and there is nothing that is not encompassed in that plan, including whatever happens along the road this month, in February, in March, April, May, June, right on through the end of the year. I also believe the Scripture just as plainly teaches that man is a free moral agent. I didn't say free will. I'm carefully choosing my words. The Scriptures indicate that he is a free moral agent who is responsible for everything that he does. But if we could see what was going to happen down the road, what down the road means tomorrow, or next month, would we not feel that we are nothing more than puppets on a string? If we knew it, this was going to happen to me or to my family or to my church on June the 3rd, 2018. And this was going to happen on June the 7th. And that was going to happen on August the 3rd. Whatever, wouldn't we just end up being What are we? We're just puppets on a string here. It's already determined. I can't do anything about it. We will end up resigning ourselves to a que sera, sera mentality. Whatever will be, will be. Fatalists. And somehow completely ignore the fact that we're responsible for our actions. That we have a will that makes choices. That we're not robots and we're not puppets on a string. So God hides the future from us. Furthermore, if we could see beyond this moment in time and see all that we're going to have to face, all that we would say, all that we would do, all that we would think every day of 2018, would this not be a very, very sad road to walk down? Oh yes, we'd see the blessings that would come and the answers to prayer. But we would also be able to see that season of backsliding of heart. And we would see that failure to trust the Lord. And we would see that loved one dying. And we would see that fiery trial was just around the corner. Tell me how you would live if you knew all those things. You would live in continual anxiety. It's coming. How good God is to keep the future from us. To help us keep thinking that way, notice what else Job says. Not only is there an undeniable implication in this text, but there is in the second place an infallible declaration. He knoweth the way that I take. With absolute certainty, Job declares that while he doesn't know his future, he doesn't know what's going on and where God is in all of this, he declares without any doubt that God infallibly knows where Job is, and God knows infallibly what he's doing, and God knows infallibly what he's going to do. The real question here that we need to answer is just what does that mean that God knows, infallibly knows the way that we take, the road that's before us. Certainly it draws upon the fact that God is omniscient. His knowledge is not limited, it is infinite knowledge. Infinite. God, who is infinite, knows himself infinitely. He knows all things actual and he knows all things possible. Whether or not those things come to pass is beside the point. He knows all things actual. He knows all things possible. And he comprehends them all perfectly in one simultaneous act of knowing. It's not by little degrees. He knows it all simultaneously. It also means that God's knowledge about the future, including the future of the road that you and I are going to travel this year, is in light of his sovereign purpose. His knowledge about our future is always in light of his sovereign purpose. In light of his own infinite, infallible intelligence, God knows all things possible. And it's in light of his own sovereign purpose and plan that he knows all things that are happening and that will happen because he has purposed them to happen. He's ordained them to happen. So therefore, he does know. He knows what he's already planned. Now bring that truth about God into what Job has just said. He knoweth the way that I take. That means in the first place that everything in our future, 2018, every day, every moment of every day has been appointed by God. Everything. Whatever you encounter along the road this year, you can know with absolute certainty that it is by divine appointment that you're encountering it. I have an appointment at 11 a.m. tomorrow to show up at outpatient surgery in Palmetto, Richland. But I want to tell you the reason I have that appointment at 11 o'clock tomorrow is because God set an appointment before this universe was created that I would have that appointment at 11 o'clock. You may face, I do not know, I've felt like I've had my share of them, and I am sure I'm going to have more of them. You and I may face many emergencies this upcoming year. But it will never be an emergency with God. When the disciples saw their little ship filling with water, they were convinced they were in the midst of an emergency. Scared to death. We're going to die. We're going to drown on this lake. We're not going to make it through. And yet the Lord Jesus, as you know that story quite well, was asleep in the hinder part of the ship. It wasn't an emergency to him. Matter of fact, when he was awakened and by the disciples, "Don't you care that we perish? What's your problem?" That, in essence, was his question. What's your problem? Why are you so fearful? Why are you afraid? Oh, he knew why. He wanted them to think about, why do you think this is a life-threatening emergency? It's astounding to me. Astounding. But that's what he was expecting. This is what faith does. This ship isn't going down. I'm in it. You're not going to drown. I'm here. Oh. Oh, that's what it means to believe that God is omniscient. Oh. I didn't think about it like that. Oh, it means that what I think is now is such a dire emergency. It's not an emergency with God because he has appointed this for me. Now, let me be clear. This is not to be understood as some kind of belief in fate. Fate is a different doctrine altogether than the doctrine of God's foreordination. Fate is blind, but God's foreordination sees everything. God has appointed for us, you, me, our families, our church, whatever's going to come to pass down this road that we're on for this year. He has appointed that not because it must be. That's the fatalist mindset. But because he knows this is the best and the wisest, therefore it should be. And only in that sense must it be. Because it is the best thing. It is the wisest thing. It should be. And then it must be. It's not arbitrary. It always has that into it. Everything he appoints, everything. It's what is best, what is wisest, what is the greatest display of my love for my people. I will appoint this and this and this and this. And this month will hold this for them, and that month will mean they'll encounter that. It's already appointed by God. We don't know. He's hidden that from us. He's not revealed to us His plan. But He has appointed it. This is an old truth, but it's one we need for the new road. A truth we should start each day with, 2018. Andrew Murray, he wrote this, "In time of trouble," which is giving advice to the Lord's people, "in time of trouble, say first, He brought me here. It is by His will I am in this straight place. In that I will rest. Next, He will keep me here in His love and give me grace in this trial to behave as His child. Then say, He will make the trial a blessing, teaching me lessons He intends me to learn and working in me the grace He means to bestow. And last say, in His good time, He can bring me out again. How and when He knows. Therefore say, I am here, number one, by God's appointment, number two, in His keeping, number three, under His training, number four, for His time." Surely that is part and parcel to what Job was thinking when he said, "But He knoweth the way that I take. I'm on this road right now by His appointment. He will keep me. He's doing this to train me. And He'll bring me through it in His time." Don't forget that while we may be overwhelmed at the thought of the greatness of God's omniscience, never forget that when we say that God has appointed everything in our future, it means that He has appointed the little things as well. God is in the little things as well as the big things. Take the little troubles, therefore, as they come. Remember that before you become a basket case over some relatively minor, inconsequential, petty thing, remember that God has appointed that little thing, and it's for your training. It's for your good. It's only a little thing, but He's appointed it to teach you from it. When those little things that annoy you throughout the day, stop and remember, that is for a reason. And the reason is not to get me all upset and bothered and angry and frustrated and complaining and bitter. It's not why He sent it. God would not do that. He sent it to help you, to carry you along the road. It's for your own spiritual good and His everlasting glory. If that is true about the little things that He appoints, it certainly is true about the big things. In this declaration about God infallibly knowing the future, It also means that whatever you meet with along the road this year, you'll never meet it alone. You'll never meet it alone. Even though Job could not find God in all of his searching and praying, he knew that God saw him and was intimately acquainted with the road that Job was traveling. He was intimately acquainted with everything that Job was thinking and everything that Job was feeling. He knew all about what his friends were saying to him, calling him a hypocrite, a liar, a deceiver. He knew every ounce of suffering that Job was going through, physically, mentally, and in his soul. I can't find him, Job says, but he knows the way that I take. He knows all about me. He knows all about my bodily pain and my sorrow of heart. He knows about these false friends sitting in front of me. In the midst of Job's confusion, because he was confused about what God was doing, in the midst of his fears and suffering, that resulted in Job actually making some very unguarded statements at times about God and about himself, you still see these flashes of faith that rise like a phoenix from the ashes in which he was sitting every day. And here's one of them. Even when everything and everyone, from his closest friends to his wife, seemed to shout that God had forgotten him and that God had abandoned him, Job held on to that fundamental truth that not once had God taken his eyes off of him, but was with him in every step of this difficult journey. God had put him on. He believed that. He knoweth the way that I take. He knows because he knows all. That means he knows when my path is the darkest and the roughest. He knows when your fear is at its highest and your faith is at its lowest. He knows when you feel like you can't take one more step down this road. He knows because he's never left you alone, and he never will. He knoweth the way that I take because he's on the road with me. Third and final thought. In this text, you'll find a gracious expectation. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Job knew, by those very words, he knew that he was being tried and tested by God. That Hebrew word tried speaks of being examined, of being tested, of being proved. Just as metals would be proved, see the genuineness of the metal. His faith was indeed being tested. Remember, Satan's claim to God was that he was doing all that he did for the Lord out of self-interest. Well, Job didn't know any of what had gone on behind the scenes between God and Satan. He knew nothing about those conversations. He knew that the genuineness of his faith was being put in the crucible. You see, brothers and sisters, faith that is not tested is not real faith. Faith that is not tested is not real faith. How can it be until it's proven? Until it's tested? What did he believe the outcome was going to be? I shall come forth as gold. I'm not the phony hypocrite that my friends accuse me of being. He has had to listen to their diatribe for days on end. You're a lying hypocrite, Job. Job says, God is putting me to a test. And I know when this test is done, I'm going to show, they're going to see, I am not that phony hypocrite they say I am. I will come forth as a genuine article, as the real stuff, real gold. My love for God, my service for God, and my faith in God is real. When God is finished with whatever He's doing along this part of the road, everyone will know and see it. Here's the old truth that we need for the new year to take with us every day. Whatever God appoints to be my lot this year, I am going to be the better for it. That is the bottom line expectation. I am going to be the better for it, not the worse. Because God's appointed it with that in mind. It can't be for the worst. It's got to be for the best. The church and the world and hell itself will know that I am His and He is mine. Those are old truths for a new year. Take them with you. One day at a time. May the Lord write that word on our hearts for His name's sake. Let's bow in prayer. Let's seek the Lord together. Father in heaven, in Jesus' name we come. We thank Thee for this word from Thy word for our souls. It's a good word, Lord. It's a very bright and helpful and hopeful word. We need faith, Lord, to believe it as with any other promise of God. While it would indeed be a good thing to have this promise throughout our home, being kept before our eyes continually, the most important place, Lord, we want Thee to write this word is on our hearts, on our memories. Oh, Father, we thank Thee that whatever comes the year ahead, we're not alone. Thou wilt carry us through, as Thou hast done every other year. Thou art ever the same. Bring us back tonight, we pray, with hearts looking for a word from God, a word that we know we need. Bread of life to strengthen us. Make this a glorious Sabbath day for Jesus' sake. And in His name we pray. Amen and amen.